The region of Germany has lots of different small states, for example, Bavaria and Schwaben and Rhineland. So every little region has developed its own food culture.
Välkommen till Tysklandspodden, en podcast av Goethe-institutet i Sverige. Vi bjuder in spännande gäster för att prata om kultur, samhälle, idéer och mycket mer. Här kan du lära känna helt nya sidor av Tyskland. Jag heter Ylva Rathjen och jobbar på Goethe-institutet med kulturprogrammet. Sauerkraut, döner och brezel är kanske några saker som man ofta förknippar med mat i Tyskland. Själv har jag familj i norra Tyskland och något som jag starkt förknippar med tysk mat är till exempel den vita sparrisen förstås och även en viss typ av gul senap som inte alls är söt och som jag verkligen kan sakna i svenska affärer. I Sverige finns det förstås också ett intresse för tysk mat. Nyligen har journalisten Björn Werner gett ut en kokbok med typiskt tyska recept. Och här i Stockholm kan man äta husmanskost på Sumfranciskaner, som har funnits där i över 100 år. Eller på den lite nyare bistron Liebling vid Mariatorget. Och idag vill vi djupdyka i vad tysk mat egentligen är. Vad innefattar det och vad säger den om tyskarna? Med mig för att reda i detta har jag Eva-Maria Endres, närings- och kommunikationsexpert. Hon bor i Berlin och forskar och skriver mycket om kulturella och sociala aspekter av ätande. Mattrender och hur vi kommunicerar om och via mat. Hi and welcome to Tysklandspodden, Eva-Maria Endres. I will call you Eva.
Hi, hello. Thank you very much for the invitation.
I'm very happy to have you here to talk about German food culture. A well-known saying in both German and Swedish is man isst was man isst, or du är vad du äter in Swedish. So I thought a nice way to get to know you a little bit better would be to find out what you eat. So my first question is, what are three things that you always have in your fridge?
Yeah, my fridge is changing a lot, but mainly vegetarian. Actually, I'm very into Skier, which is not typically German.
Skier, I know about it, but it's not typically German.
No, actually not. We have something like that. It is called Magerquark, but I eat it every day for breakfast. And then some fruits and lots of vegetables and also some white wine is always in my fridge. Yes.
Sounds like a quite healthy fridge.
Yeah.
With the fruits and vegetables.
Most of it. Yeah. Mm.
My second question is, if you were only allowed to eat one German dish for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I would say what I really like to eat is Kaiserschmarrn. It is not typically German, but it's something like, it is a sweet dish similar to pancakes.
Ah, okay.
But I also like all sort of pasta.
But what kind of, is it like a thicker kind of pancake?
Kaiserschmarrn, you basically make one big pancake with raisins and then you rip it apart. So you have small pancake bobs and then you fry it again in the pan with some butter and then you eat it with applesauce.
Oh, that sounds very good. There are some types of German food that a lot of people seem to know about or associate a lot with Germany. For example, Bratwurst or beer. It's not a food, but a drink. Currywurst. Yeah, a lot of those kinds of stereotypical German food. When you think about typical German food, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, Germany has lots of different kind of food areas, you can call them, so different kind of food cultures. As an example, one typical food for the northern part or northwestern part of Germany is Himmel und Erde, which is basically you can translate
heaven
it.
And earth, or
yes, heaven and earth, yes, perfect. And it is mashed potatoes combined with cooked pieces of apple. And the name comes from the German word for potato, Erdäpfel, which means basically apples from the earth or earth apples.
That's right. The same as in French, right?
Ah, yeah, yeah. Pomme de terre. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, yeah. And
I thought it was Kartoffel.
Yeah, Kartoffel is the German word. But you have like the an old traditional word is called Erdäpfel. But yeah, some people use it today. And this is the earth part. And the heaven part is the apples, which are like, yeah, apples growing in the sky. So you have these mashed potatoes and you always eat it with some kind of sausage. Mostly with a blood sausage, but you can also eat it with bratwurst, for example. And this is very typical for the northwestern part of Germany. And then for the southern part, you have, for example, Maultaschen. This is very typical for Schwaben.
Maultaschen, I've heard of this. I've never tried it, but yeah.
Yeah, it is basically like a big ravioli. So like a filled dumpling, for example, with a meat filling. And it is also a funny name in Germany, which is called Herrgottsbescheißerle.
Oh, that you have to explain.
Yeah.
Or translate.
It's very difficult to translate, but you can translate it with little god cheaters, which comes from the tradition, the southern part of Germany. Yeah, the Catholic religion is really important. You are not allowed to eat meat on Fridays or in the time before Easter. And so they covered the meat in the dough. And so they kind of thought God wouldn't see the meat, so I can also eat meat.
Oh, really? So it's like a way to cheat, really?
Yes.
Okay, that's really funny.
Yeah, so these are two typical dishes that comes to my mind, yeah.
We tapped into that really quickly, but that's like when you talk about German food, it's really difficult to talk about it without addressing these regional differences. Because it's not like, for example, in Sweden, we don't have as strong regional differences, I would say. You can talk, for example, about a Swedish julbord, which is where you serve almost the same food at Christmas in the northern parts of Sweden as in the south, roughly. Of course, there are small differences, but not as big, I would say, as in Germany. And also another example is a more recent tradition maybe is Taco Fredag or Taco Friday, where lots of families eat tacos on Friday, kind of like Taco Tuesday, but on Fridays. Mm-hmm. Are there any more or other regions that you would like to mention?
Yeah, of course. So Germany has lots of different food cultures, which comes from the German history, that the land wasn't really like one united state for a long time. The region of Germany has lots of different kingdoms and small states, for example, Bavaria and Schwaben and Rhineland, or yeah, Francophonia. And every little region has developed its own food culture and is influenced by the states next to them. So, for example, the food culture in the eastern part of Germany, the former GDR, is very much influenced by the Russian or Polish food culture. Mm. So you have like traditional dishes served in the GDR, for example, Solyanka, which is basically a soup made of beetroot and Russian-inspired soup, you can say. And then you have the southern part of Germany, for example, Bavaria. And the food culture there is very much influenced by the Austrian or Hungarian food culture. Mm. And also a little bit from northern Italian, the South Tyrol. This is the northern part of Italy. based in the Alpine region in the mountains. Yeah, and then you have the northern part or northwestern part that is mainly influenced by the British food culture, for example, but also Belgium food culture. And then when you go a little bit further south, you have the French food culture also as well, which is the main influence. So yeah, basically it is a patchwork constellation of different food cultures in Germany.
Yeah, but influenced then by the countries around. Because I was thinking, when you talked about south of Germany and influences from Austria, that schnitzel is also one of those dishes that you often think about when you think about German cuisine, but it's actually from Austria, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Schnitzel is a typical Austrian dish. You can find it at many places in Germany, but it is a typical Austrian dish.
So I thought it would also be a bit interesting to know which region in Germany you are from, and if you yourself have maybe a favorite region.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I am from Bavaria, but not from the South Bavaria. Lots of people, if they hear Bavaria, they think about Munich and, these traditional, like, Brezel and beer culture. Mm. But I am from the northern part of Bavaria, and Bavaria is one of the biggest countries in Germany. So northern Bavaria means basically almost the middle of Germany. Yeah, this is the Francophonia region where I come from.
Oh, so it's part of Bavaria, but it's still the Francophonia region.
Yes. So also Bavaria is parted in different regions.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. It's very regional.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And this is also my favorite region, the southern part of Germany, because, the food culture over there is very much influenced, like I said, from the Austrian food culture. So they have, lots of sweet dishes, also sweet main dishes. Lots of dishes made with some kind of dough, for example, yeast dough, or lots of different sorts of dumplings and stuff like that. Mm. And I like that very much. Yeah. And also my grandmother came from the Czech Republic. They have typical dishes, for example, Bovidl, which is also made in Germany a lot, which is Zwetschgenmus. Some sort of plum. It is a very dark violet plum. Mm. It is totally typical for Germany.
So you mentioned a couple of different foods. If you were to tell a Swedish person any like hidden gems that you think more people should know about or try when they go to Germany, maybe one or two examples.
I don't know if most people know about that Germany has also very typical wine region, especially the region where I come from, the Francophonia region. It is very famous for their delicious wine. So you have, if you are in the northern part of Bavaria, you have to try a Silvaner, which is white wine. And also, I mean, the most famous dish for us Germans is all sort of briskets. For example, I don't know if you have heard of the Sauerbraten.
Yes, this... I have.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah. But maybe not everyone has. You're welcome to explain it.
Yeah, so it is a special kind of brisket, which is also made in Bavaria, but also in the western part of Germany. Mm-hmm. And it is our like Christmas dish or festive dish. And it is a brisket which is made with a kind of sour sauce. It is difficult to describe, and when I describe it, lots of people think, "Oh no, it sounds not delicious at all."
That's sometimes the case with food. You need to try it to know.
Yes, but I really would recommend it. And then you have to eat it with Klöße, of course. Mm. So potato. I don't know, what's the English word for Klöße?
Isn't it like a kind of gnocchi?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a really, really big gnocchi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that you have written about a bit in your work that I read was food as a powerful expression of identity. And I read an article where you explain how meals can function kind of as a miniature society, which I thought was very interesting. Can you explain what you mean by that?
This is a quote from Eva Berlusius. She's one of the most famous food sociologists in Germany. Mm. Yeah, she said meals are most important for developing a society. For one part, meals are universal all over the world. So there is no known society who doesn't eat together. So all people, all humans eat together. Mm. And the structure of our society is based on the distribution of food. So for example, when we talk about what is right for the nature or our logistic system and also our economic system, all of that is based how we grow and distribute our food. Mm. So the food is central for functioning of our society. And also when you look at your home and at your table, there are hierarchies, mm. Maybe a few years ago, more hierarchies than now. Yeah, you can see who becomes the biggest portion, who is served first, what kind of rules are they at the table? Are there any rules? And who is sitting where? Yeah, the tableware you use, and everything is kind of a symbolic how our society is functioning.
Does it also include what is on the plate, like the food itself, or in this?
Of course. I mean, yeah. So if you take a look at, for example, vegan or vegetarian people, it is also kind of an important part for your own identity. If you decide to eat vegetarian, for example, it is not only a decision, based on health concerns or ethic concerns, but is also like, I identify as a vegetarian. And at the same time, I am part of a special group, like a group of people. So it is food is also very important to be part of a social group.
What do you think food or a meal can reveal about the Germans?
Yeah, that's very difficult. I mean, it totally depends. Since, for example, in the Bavarian region, in Bavaria, there is a politician called Markus Söder.
Oh, I wanted to mention him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but please go on, yeah.
Yes, and until recently, he had a very famous Instagram account, and he posted under the hashtag Söder is, which means basically Söder eats. And you can see what he eats and where he eats. And it was mainly meat dishes. Mm. And there you can see food is also a political question. Mm. Yeah, because he is famous for, he puts the narrative that sustainability movement and the Green Party in Germany, they want to take away the meat from the people. They are not allowed to eat meat anymore. Mm-hmm. And that is a very, that especially for the people in Bavaria, it is a very emotional topic. So the people are celebrating this politician or some people over there. Mm. They are celebrating him for his kind of meat food culture, which means you can enjoy life, you can eat big portions. Meat also stands is a very highly symbolic, symbolic food. Mm. And it stands for masculinity and also power. And that is
and he is the Bavarian minister president.
Yes.
I don't know if we mentioned, but
it's
very interesting. So, I also noticed a lot of meat in the account.
So there you can see like this food is not only something where we get our energy from, it is identity and combined with a certain kind of culture and also a certain kind of symbolic that stands behind that, that food. Yeah.
So another interesting example, actually, in Sweden, this year is also the Swedish election. And interestingly, here food has been a popular prop in like and used in speeches and debates. For example, the leader of the Christian Democratic Party, Ebba Busch, she used a falukorv, a kind of like red sausage, to talk about high food prices. And also the leader of the left party, Nooshi Dadgostar, has used a carrot to demonstrate how like the revenue of food is being distributed. So I would say like in Sweden, increasing costs for food has been a hot topic in politics. And I think maybe that's why these food props have made it. It could be other reasons as well. But have you seen a similar development in Germany where, I mean, the food prices have also increased?
Yeah, of course. That's always a popular topic. I mean, we don't have these typical examples like you mentioned now. Even Markus Söder has now, he doesn't post anymore on Instagram about food. I don't know why.
Okay, but he must have quit it quite recently this year.
Yes. He quit it a few weeks ago, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. And a few years ago, it was a very hot topic where the Green Party would like to establish on the canteens, for example, the school canteens or the universities, they would establish a vegetarian Friday, so that you don't eat meat on Fridays. And it was a huge, so the population was very angry about it.
Okay.
So food is always, or you can always take it as a political subject or to express your political opinion.
But it's interesting that you mentioned the canteens and canteens in schools, because from my knowledge in Germany, the schools do not serve free food in the schools. Has that changed?
Yes, it has changed a few years ago. So the school system is also very different, also depending on the different region. German countries. There you have it again, the patchwork constellation in Germany.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I had a theory about this also as to why the food culture in Sweden may be a bit more common, because the children in school are served lunch everywhere, and there are these typical dishes on at typical days. Like I grew up with eating fish on Wednesdays, and like Thursdays you very often get soup and pancakes, and everyone knows that that's like a Thursday classic. So I also been thinking about that as like that probably created more of like a streamlined sense of what Swedish food is.
Yeah, it certainly has. Yeah, that's very interesting. We don't have that in Germany, actually.
So I would like to ask you a bit about trends. I thought that would be interesting. So culinary developments have always been shaped by a lot of different factors. For example, immigration or influences from other cuisines, like you mentioned also, that's very much a part of the German food culture, but also the availability of ingredients and the spirit of the time. And for example, there is the experimentation with exotic fruits in the 1980s. Are there any particular food trends in Germany that stand out right now, you think?
Yeah, I would say the Germans are always very open to foreign food cultures. So as you mentioned, in the 1960s, there was a huge movement from Turkey, but also Italy and Greece. And of course, they brought their food culture. And the Germans love Italian cuisine, Italian dishes. Also, spaghetti bolognese is on Yeah, it's the most popular dish in Germany, even if we don't make it at all like an Italian. So if you serve it to an Italian, the German spaghetti bolognese, then he says, oh, no, that's not at all what I have not.
It's a Germanized version.
Yeah, it's a Germanized pasta, yes. And of course, pizza, but also Döner is very famous in Germany.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because so most of the people think it is a traditional Turkish dish, but actually one say that it is developed in Berlin or some city of Germany. Mm. So you don't know it as a traditional Turkish dish, but in Germany it's very popular. Yeah, of course, also the vegan vegetarian movement is very widespread in Germany. So in every supermarket, you have a variety of plant-based products now, and it's growing and growing. So people are very interested in that.
There are also a lot of these biomarkts.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that comes from the bio movement in Germany. So it's a movement for organic food that has taken place in the 1980s in Germany. Mm. And this has a very strong tradition in Germany to grow organic food. And we had the organic supermarkets, or called Bioläden. It was more like a small store where you can have or can buy only organic food products. And now we have big organic supermarkets, but also in the discounters where you can buy very cheap food, for example, Aldi or Lidl. They also have big sortiment of organic food now. Yeah.
Mm. Become more implemented in the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking ahead, do you see changes in the German food cultures, or do you see something that could be like, this is the next big thing coming up?
That's a difficult question, actually, because one of my main research topics is food and social media. And social media, or media in general, is always very interesting to look at when you talk about food trends. And what I recognized is that we have a very strong vegan vegetarian movement on the one hand, and it is a very big community now, and it is also, they don't call it vegan anymore, they say plant-based, and that is also more common in society, and lots of people are interested in that. And on the other hand, there grew a movement the last years which is very into barbecue and meat products. So you have basically these polarization in the food discourse on social media. And I couldn't say that from my research, but I was wondering if that might be a mirror of the polarization of society. So maybe you have these, on the one hand, this postmodern sustainable people, and on the other hand, people who appreciate like their traditional values and also have a very hedonistic approach to food. I am really curious how that develops in the next
years.
It really
sounds like it's similar to what you also see in the society. I understand your thought on that. But do you also see some kind of tension between these communities on social media? Or is it just they exist next to each other?
Yeah, I was, for example, if I took a closer look at the barbecue and meat community, I expected a lot more bashing against the vegan and vegetarian community. But that was not the case. They were basically just enjoying their lifestyle and enjoying to have grilling meat and enjoying their community. And they were also open to vegetarian dishes as well. That was surprising for me. And on the other hand, what I think is a good development, the vegan community is not so dogmatic anymore. Mm. They try to push more into society, make the vegan food culture more common in society. And they don't talk about ethical issues that much anymore. Mm. For example, yeah, if you compare it to the vegan community a few years ago, it was a lot about animal rights and the animal right movement. Mm. But now they talk more about sustainability issues, for example, the resources it takes to produce meat, or also issues like food waste.
How it affects the climate.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah. And that seems to be not so moralistic anymore. Mm. And also they accept it when one is just, for example, people eat 5 days a week. They eat vegan or vegetarian, and the other 2 days they eat meat, and that's okay. So the community or the vegan movement is not so dogmatic anymore. And that's also a very good thing, because people are more open to it now.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. And for anyone listening who is interested in these questions about polarization in society and in politics, my colleague Sonja did an episode with Gilda Sahebi about polarization. So have a listen to that if you're interested. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me today, nutrition and communications expert Eva Maria Endres.
Yeah, thank you for the lovely talk and for having me.
Thank you. Följ Tysklandspodden i din poddapp så att du inte missar nästa avsnitt. Jag heter Ylva Ratjen. Tack för idag. Tysklandspodden är en podcast av Goethe-institutet i Sverige. Produktion och redaktion Ylva Ratjen, Sonja Leister och Judith Mirschberger.